I trust that you had a good day yesterday, in spite of how hot it was, you know, the previous days. I know myself, you know, I took time, you know, to go up to see my sister, lives just close to Mahaffey, let me put it that way, and spent, you know, most of the afternoon with her. And then just when I was getting ready to leave, around 5 or 5:30, you know, it just started to sprinkle, but you could hear rumbling in the background. And so as soon as I got in the car and pulled out of their driveway, it just kind of let loose. And it poured, and lightning was streaking across the sky. Very phenomenal just seeing all that. And finally, I think when I got a little bit south of Westover, maybe towards close to Chess Springs, because I can't take 453, that route, you know, James, because they got that road blocked off, it's closed. And finally made it home, got home, it was dry, and no rain, you know, but then I could hear thunder. And then finally it did start to rain, maybe just a little bit, you know, so thank the Lord. You know, he's got it all under control. But I guess I didn't realize just how exhausted I was, you know, because I wanted to stay up to hear, you know, fireworks, because their neighbors, you know, they kind of get all their works out, you know, and kind of I can have my own fireworks display just watching it, you know, my back porch. But by 9 o'clock it was nights out for me. That was it. I couldn't make it any longer. I think I kind of mentioned to you, you know, because I'm making another trip tomorrow up to Dubois to see my mother. And I think I mentioned to you all, you know, that my mother will be turning 90 tomorrow. And bless her heart, you know. And I kind of asked her, I said, well, how do you feel about that? She said, I don't know if I'm ready for it or not, to be honest with you. And of course, I asked her, I said, well, do you know how old great-grandma was? Because I remember great-grandma, because I always mow her lawn years ago when I was just a teenager. And she was old then, you know, for me, you know, and even when I was in the 60s, you know, she was still old, you know, so I never knew, you know. And Mom said, you know, my mother said to me, she said, I think she was probably in her 90s. Now I thought, oh, that sounds like there's longevity, maybe perhaps in our genes, that I'm not sure about, you know, it's hard to say. On my father's side, it was more in the 80s, you know, and my mother's side, you know, it sounds like, you know, in the 90s, but I don't know, because her parents, they were, you know, heavy smokers, but thank the Lord they came to faith in Christ, you know, later on in their journey. But because of the smoking, being such heavy smokers, their lifespan was cut short, you know, as we know, or did its damage to the lungs. And I know God is able, but he so chose to take them home and to be in glory, you know. And I remember both of them very, very fondly. Landon, you know, my youngest, not teenager, you know, but grandson, whom I had here a couple times, you know. When I told him about, you know, great-grandma, for him, you know, being 90. I said, 90, Pap? I said, yeah, 90. He's having a hard time making a connection, you know, me being a pap and her being great-grammy. And he kind of looked at me and he said, well, then how old are you, Pap? So I kind of looked at him and I said, well, of course, he was in the back seat, so I couldn't really look at him, because if I did, you know, who knows where I would have gone. But I said to him, I said, well, I said, Pap's going to be 72 here pretty soon. Oh, so you mean that she had you when you were when she was 13 years old? I think, now, Landon, do your math again. You know, huh? I said, yeah, do your math. I said, no, she was not 13 years of age, you know, when she had me. You know, keep in mind, you know, she's 90, you know, and I'm 72. I said, do your math. Okay. Oh, she must have been 23. Well, we're kind of getting there. Well, I told him, I said, Landon, do your math. I said, take 90, you know, and then, you know, subtract from it, you know, 72. I said, what should that give you? Finally, I mean, he's pausing there for the longest time, you know, and I know he's trying to count, you know, and use his fingers or whatnot, you know. And finally, I kind of said, I said to him, how does 18 sound? I was getting there, Pap. I was getting there. I said, okay. At least we got that pretty much settled, you know. But you know, life is interesting. In spite of all the negative and the chaotic mess that we can look at and see, but thank God, in the midst of it all, you know, Jesus, God has it all under control. I mean, nothing surprises him. Nothing. Even how things are unfolding in our world and our culture today, it's not a big surprise to him. It's just going according to clockwork. Because one day, thank God, you know, one day we're going to hear that trumpet. It's going to sound. You know, either we'll hear it or the next generation, but I believe it's a lot sooner than we realize. And I trust, you know, as we're aware of this, and as we're looking at Paul's letter to the church of Philippians, or the church of Philippi, that we have a desire, as Paul addresses, you know, that our lives will be experiencing, you know, his fullness, the fullness of joy, but also that we become like Jesus, that we begin to grow in Christ. I mean, Paul did say there, remember there in chapter 1, he said, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Though I'm torn between the two. I long to be home with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think there are times in our journey, you know, we thought, Lord, whenever. But Paul went on to say, but it's necessary that I remain for your progress in the faith, for your journey. And what was really important for Paul, in the midst of all the problems that he was going through, and writing this even from prison as well, in the midst of his critics, in the midst of his crises, you know, being torn between the two, you know, as far as to be home with Christ or to go on, or even, you know, just the idea, you know, as far as what he was experiencing in his own personal journey, Paul was focused upon Christ. And he was encouraging this church that no matter the opposition, no matter the crisis, no matter the chains, as he himself was experiencing, always be focused upon Jesus. And he begins to embellish that theme. He begins to embellish that thought, you know, there in chapter 2, where he says, you know, don't be focused on your own rights. Don't be focused on yourself, but be focused on others. Has Christ Jesus. He set the precedence, you know. He was the prime example of what it means, you know, to be about, you know, the work of the kingdom, because he humbled himself and became obedient, even death on the cross. And as I look at the life of Jesus, and you study the life of Jesus, there in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, well, Jesus was very passionate, and he showed compassion on those who were lost, those who were hurting, those who were struggling. Now, we know the Pharisees and the scribes gave him fits. We know that from Scripture, and he spoke truth to them. He wasn't afraid because he was confident. And the reason why he was confident, because of his time that he spent with Jesus. Or not with Jesus, but with his Father, is what I wanted to say. And so as we look at these passages, you know, and then we even look at the Apostle Paul as well, where he said, you know, I'm poured out as a drink offering. And being poured out, you know, I'm making a total surrender, a complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to be used of him and the ministry that he's called me into. And people may read those two passages about Jesus and about the Apostle Paul, and they may think in their minds, you know, as they're reading this letter for the very first time, well, yeah, we can expect Jesus, because he was God, the God-man, as we know in Scripture. Naturally, he would have an interest in others and not in himself. And the Apostle Paul, you know, I mean, man, the Apostle Paul, he was up there. He was an apostle. We're not apostles. We didn't have a dramatic experience like Paul had. And perhaps Paul, as he's being inspired by the Spirit of God to write this letter, and the Spirit of God being aware that perhaps people would entertain those thoughts, kind of said, there are two examples that I want to give you, two more examples. I've already set the precedence with Jesus. I've given you an example, you know, through my own life as well, in my own journey, encouraging you, you know, not to grumble, not to complain, not to bicker, not to fight, but that there be unity within the body. You come together in Christ, and as we come together, as we do every Sunday, especially on this day, being the, you know, as we know, the Lord's Day, but that of Communion Sunday. And maybe as you've been listening to what God's Spirit has been saying to you in this past week or whenever, knowing that He has pricked your heart, your mind, drawing you to Himself, that you realize even this morning, Lord, I know in a short while that we'll be taking of the bread and the cup. My desire, the desire of my heart, is to be the person that you long for me to be. As you prayed that for the church of Philippi, that you would be pure and that you would be blameless, that you'd be without fault, that you would not grumble or complain, that you would hold forth the word of life in a world that is full of despair, and that you would shine like stars in a world that's full of darkness. Lord, I'm so discouraged and disheartened by all that I see and all that I hear. I come to the table. And to know that your very life was given for me, and that you yourself, you are the bread of life, and as Pastor Brad mentioned in the prayer as well, Lord, in that hunger that I have for you, and in the thirst that I have for you, I come to fill me to overflowing with yourself. And knowing very well that your blood was shed, that as I take of that cup as well, that there is cleansing. There is power in the blood. As we listen to that one song that was sung with the sign language. And God, not only do I want to experience your fullness in my life, but also your cleansing power to flow not only in me, but through me as well, to shine like a star. You know, when life is at its darkest point in life, have you ever been outside and it's all dark, there's no street lights, there's nothing, and it's a clear night, and that's when the stars of the heavens are their brightest. And I thought, Lord, may I be that star. What can I learn from Timothy? What can I learn from that long name of Epaphroditus, you know, whatever name you want to attach there? You know, whether I would have called him Epaphroditus, you know, maybe I would call him, you know, Pap, short. I think there's a lot that we can learn from them. Because I think what we see there with Timothy, and as you have your Bibles there, we can look there. What we learn from Timothy, you know, is the following. We just kind of read it here again. So with Timothy, Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone else seems to be looking out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But what I find with Timothy, what Paul is saying here in this passage, what I find with Timothy, a young man that he is, because he wrote a letter to Timothy, as we'll look here briefly at something that he did say to young Timothy. And he did say, he did encourage Timothy. He said, Timothy, you know, let no one despise your youth. You know, they may look at you and say, well, he's only young right now, you know, what can we learn from him? You know, believe it or not, you know, I had that, you know, said to me one time, years ago when I was pastoring many years ago, along with my wife at that time, you know, there in the Pittsburgh area. And the comment was made, you know, as far as, you know, just at a light thing, you know, I think it was a fellowship dinner and so forth, you know, we were kind of talking about some things, you know, and one of my parishioners kind of looked at me, you know, and kind of said among others as well, he's only young right now. He's only a young pastor. He's only a young buck, you know. He's got a lot more to learn. Yeah, you're right. I do have a lot more to learn, but God's word still stands. no matter what. And now, now that I'm older, I've heard this. Now, I haven't heard this directly, but it's out there. You know, the thought is, you know, well, he's too old now. And I'm thinking, what do they want? You know? And I'm sure Jesus probably wouldn't even suit their needs. You know, if they complain about us, you know. And Jesus didn't make people happy. You know, they grumbled and complained about him when he walked upon the face of this earth. So I guess in a way we kind of expect it, you know. But with Timothy, the interest that he had, you know, was his desire. And then Paul addressed that, you know, because his desire was to grow in a relationship with Jesus. Through the Word of God, as I mentioned last week, through prayer, and through suffering. Because as Paul says there in this passage here that we just looked at, you know, verse 22, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. He's been with me. I know everything about this guy. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Listen to what he has to say, because he's being used of God, just as you're listening to what I am saying through this letter that I'm sharing with you, knowing that's the work of God's Spirit. And of course, when we kind of look there in 2 Timothy, Paul does say this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and following. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, young Timothy. You know my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. Do others know you because of that? When I was reading this, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you know everything about my teaching. You know my purpose. A lot of people don't know their purpose in life. To glorify God. Paul was confident. He knew what his overall purpose was. And he spells it out for us there in the book of Philippi. To remain. To make sure that others will be growing in Christ Jesus. That they will learn, know, recognize, you know, like how God, how they need to work out their salvation. And knowing very well that it's God that's working in them. His purpose was clear. His focus was clear. Even when it gets hot and humid, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, you know, but boy, when it gets hot, when I'm hot and when I'm humid, you know, I am less focused. I'm just drained. And maybe that's why I was so tired last night, you know, just physically, I mean, drained from the week. It does that to you. And I know they say, you know, drink plenty of fluids, you know, replenish yourself, da-da-da-da-da. We know that. And we follow that. But in the midst of it all, Paul was focused, and he said Timothy has been focused as well. He knew also there in verse 11, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Wow, quite a list. And yet God, and Paul is saying, God's been faithful. He has rescued me. He has delivered me. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Doesn't say we'll have an easy, good life. You will be persecuted. Times will come. While evil men and apostates will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is at work. And he even said to the church of Philippi there in chapter 1, you know, there in verse 4, you know, that God began a good work in you, and he will complete it until the time he comes back. In all of us, he's doing a good work. And at communion, a time when we say, you know, okay, Lord, I know your word says you will do a good work in me. I thank you for that. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you for the awesome work that you are continuing to do in my life. And maybe there have been times I haven't seen it or have not been aware of it. But Jesus, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous truths that you have for me. And a song we'll kind of close with a little bit later on as well. You know, as he is the potter, we're the clay. Make me and mold me to what you want to have me to be. Or even to say or to speak. Take my life. Take my words. Take my hands. Take my feet. I give them all to you. That you be glorified in my life, as young Timothy. He has proved himself. He has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So we look at Timothy's life. We look at Paul's life. We look at Jesus' life. And I'm sure God, through his Spirit, will prick us, you know, in our conscience or in our hearts, you know, and say, here's what I need you to work on. This is the area. You need to submit to me and to trust me and to rely upon me, because I'm working in you to bring about something that is good, that's deep within your soul and your heart. Even Epaphroditus as well, he talks about him. He said, you've kind of learned a little bit about young Timothy. He said, now let me get to this other character, you know, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus, you know, I consider him to be my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. I had three good things to say about this guy. At the risk of his own life, where Paul mentions a little bit later on, I mean, this guy, he almost died. He was quite ill. You heard about it, how ill that he was. Well, let me tell you, you probably didn't realize, he almost died. But God in his mercy spared him. Prevent sorrow upon sorrow, that I can have this opportunity now to send him back to you, because I know you're all concerned about him, as I was concerned about him, and thankful for the fact that he spent time with me. He has been my brother. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you know, our focus should be, as Paul says there very early, at the very beginning, you know, as far as about the partnership of the gospel. Partnership means, you know, we're working together to promote the furtherance of the kingdom, reaching out to people and sharing the good news of Jesus. And my heart's desire, I don't want to make an excuse, you know, but I made the announcement, you know, as far as do a prayer walk here throughout, you know, Clappertown. Well, I didn't accomplish that this past week because it was just too hot for me. I guess I'm at that. There was one time, you know, the heat didn't bother me as much. Now it does. I know some people are probably thinking, well, you wimp, you, what's wrong with you? That and the gnats, too. The gnats are just driving me nuts. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, I go out there, you know, and man, I'm wearing a hat as well, you know, and they're just buzzing all over the place, you know, and I'm people thinking I'm doing a dance out there, you know. I'm not. I'm just trying to swat them away, but they keep coming back. But my prayer is, as you can be praying about that, when the Lord lays it upon my heart to begin that particular journey in my life, that he will open up opportunities. Because I want to be sensitive to the community. I want to be aware of the community. I want to be aware of what's out there. But if there's someone that God wishes for me to speak to, he needs to make that clear to me. And I believe he will. He will. As we trust him. And Epaphroditus, you know, he was a brother in the Lord. We're all, like I said, sisters and brothers in the Lord, to work together for the kingdom. And God has called us. He has placed us in positions, you know, to accomplish that as well. To share the good news that we have that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because that's what people need. They need Jesus to hear the good news of his transforming power in our lives. That we're all workers together, fellow workers together. We're all soldiers as well, continuing to stand strong in the faith. confident in the faith that Jesus is King, that He is Lord, my Savior. The enemy is after us, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I realize, you know, more and more, you know, I think in a way, you know, I'm thankful, you know, that I am growing old. And even though the body is telling me differently, but I'm thankful because it's strange. Not that I didn't do it when I was younger. I don't know about you, but I'm more conscious of my need for Jesus every day. And even at nighttime, maybe it's just because of the conflict or the struggles that we all encounter and that I myself encounter as well. Now, when I lay on my bed at nighttime, you know, and as you know, without my wife, no, present anymore, I know she's with the Lord now, but as I'm laying there, just offering words of just saying, Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that I had the privilege of meeting this day. And God, you know the need that they have. You know my own innermost need as well. I don't know what it is, you know, about giving thanks and praise to the Lord, you know, but that puts me to sleep. I'm thinking, you know, then I wake up in the middle of the night, I thought, wow, did I? I know I was thanking the Lord, but I didn't realize I'd go to sleep that fast. What better way to sleep, you know, than to know that you're sleeping in the arms of Jesus? And then when I wake up in the morning, just before I get out of bed, to hear all those creaks and those strange noises in the body, I lay there just for a few minutes and say, Lord, thank you. Sometimes I wonder, you know, as I move in that direction, you know, do we thank Him enough? Do we praise Him enough? Or are we so focused on our pet peeves or problems? Nothing wrong in letting our problems be known to the Lord, because we're to share with Him what troubles us. But redirect the prayer, the thoughts, as Epaphroditus, who almost died, but yet was willing to serve and come alongside of Paul, and now being sent back to the church of Philippi to say, guys, maybe in a way just to say, I want you to know the God that we serve and the God that we worship, He is so good, and He's good all the time. I almost died, but God in His mercy met me. And for some reason allowed me to continue my journey here to minister like my dear brother Paul, who wanted to die but was torn and saw that it was more needful for him to remain, and maybe for him to remain, him and I got together. I think, you know, God brings people together, you know, in fellowship for a reason. Not coincidence, but to learn and to grow in our walk with Jesus. I mean, did all of you in your wildest dreams think maybe about 6 months ago or 8 months ago that I'd be sitting here in front of you? I'm not no one special, okay? I'm not anyone special, unique. But then anyone here, you know, I bet Ron did. I bet Ron said, you know, I think there was a guy by the name of Rich Harder. He was here at sometimes in the past. He's going to be here. Well, none of us had that. I didn't even have that idea. All that I knew was, God, I'm available. There's a sign not far from where I live. It's on the church sign. It's on a church sign. So, and I think I shared this with some men, you know, here just recently. God is not interested in your ability, though He uses your ability for the furtherance of the kingdom, but what God is interested in is your availability, making yourself available to Him. And I thought, Lord, I'm available. What direction do you have for me? I even look at my notes, you know, a year ago, because I keep a little journal just to write a few thoughts. And one of them was ministry. Because I knew that's what Diane would want me to continue in some form of ministry. Not to kind of chuck it, forget it. And I thought, you know, so I look at that note, because I'm repeating those devotional that I have. All right, answer to prayer. Answer to prayer. And I know Donna said 10 years, you know, but I was like, okay, yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, there we go, yeah. But, you know, it is good what God has in store for us, for you. And I trust, you know, as you look at these, and Paul said a little bit later on about Epaphroditus, he said, welcome him in the Lord when he comes with great joy. Honor men like him, because he almost died. Honor him. Honor him. Now, it's not taken away from what he said about Jesus, who came, you know, and had no reputation of himself, that he emptied himself. But it's interesting, when Jesus, you know, was obedient to the Father and emptying himself, who was it that exalted him? God exalted him. And I believe what Paul was doing by the Spirit of God, you know, because the Epaphroditus didn't come and said, okay, folks, I almost died. What are you going to do for me? He didn't have that attitude. He wasn't looking for a reward. But the Spirit of God was impressing upon Paul's heart, honor him. He wasn't looking for it. Epaphroditus wasn't. But Paul said, it's okay. Honor him. Those who honor the Lord, he will honor. He will honor. So as we come to communion, we can say, Lord, I've seen the life of Epaphroditus, young Timothy, Paul, and also I've seen the life of Jesus. Help me to be more like you, to grow in your likeness. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and fashion me till all shall see Christ only, always living in me, by word, by mouth, with what I touch with my hands, where my feet take me in life. To honor and glorify you is my heart's desire. So as we prepare to take other elements, keep that in mind. We'll just pause for a word of prayer for you just to have time with the Lord. Then I'll ask Rodney and Ron to come and to serve the elements. And it's for all people. Let's pause for prayer just for a moment. Father, we thank you again for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. We can identify, maybe perhaps with Timothy, a strong desire, Lord, to have a genuine interest in others, who spent time with the Apostle Paul, learning and growing in his walk with you, as he listened to how Paul was used, even through periods of suffering and pain. But he knew that it just wasn't Paul. There was something supernatural taking place in his life, and it was Jesus. And through Epaphroditus, Lord, we've learned that he was a brother in the Lord, a fellow soldier, a fellow worker. He almost died, but he was willing to continue to serve. He didn't allow anything to hamper, to deter him. He was focused. May we be focused also. Even the Apostle Paul, where he was poured out like a drink offering, that of complete, wholehearted surrender. Lord, sometimes we tend to grumble and complain and fume and fuss. But, oh God, our desire is to be poured out. And we pour ourselves out to you in total, absolute surrender. All of us, every member, Lord, of our body, surrendered to you. Because the ultimate is to be like Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, dying for us, dying to self. so that you be glorified. Jesus, work in us. As we work things out, we rely upon you. And we're going to take the bread and the cup. And as we take it, fill it with your fullness, for we're hungry and thirsty. And let the blood cleanse us and make us whole. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And as you know, just hold on to the elements to further instruction. So in that upper room, the time that Jesus had with his disciples as he's spending time with us right now, he said to them, "This is my body which is given for you. Take eat of this in remembrance of me." So let's partake. So Jesus, as we have partaken of the bread, we are reminded you are the bread of life. And you invited us to come. We come into your presence with open hands and an open heart to receive all that you have for us, Jesus. Fill us to overflowing with yourself, O Christ. Empower us with your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus also said to his disciples, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And Jesus, indeed, the song that we heard earlier and sung ourselves, there is power, power in the blood that cleanses and makes us whole again. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that poured. Thank you, Jesus, for making us whole. Thank you, Jesus, for thy great salvation, so rich, so full, so free. Thank you, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Sharon has expressed a desire to be anointed and prayed for. So, Sharon, if you want to come.